in the Outdoor Living Hour. And Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery in the studio at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. And we are here for you, the Arizona homeowner, whatever it is you want to talk about, your garden, your lawns, your trees, your shrubs. If you plant it, grow it, trim it, chop it, shrub it, burn it, we'll handle it.
I'm all over that burn.
You got
part.
You. He woke up.
Burn? What? Torch? Man,
talk about burn. You ought to see my yard. I'm on this like major water conserving mission thing.
Yeah.
You know, so as we left for a week, I thought, well, gosh, surely we're gonna get a rain in that week. So I dialed the. I aired on the super conservative side. Big mistake.
You know,
y'all didn't get a drop of water while we were gone.
No, we were getting so much rain, and then it just quit. Question for you, though. You don't have any grass in the front.
Right.
Kids are all gone.
Yes.
I know you got dogs. They'd be fine. Why not just do a winter lawn? Let the summer lawn go.
Yeah, I know that's your MO. I just travel even more in the winter than I do in the summer.
Yeah, but the winter's easier. It's even easier, though. It doesn't need as much water or as often. It needs mowed a little bit. Hire a guy to mow it and just do a winter lawn.
I know. You've been trying to talk me into that for a long time.
I'm considering it myself.
We always try and push our Bermuda as far as we can into September so that when we have our birthday party, we've got a nice lawn. Well, we don't have the kids' age right now. They're not really that. They'd rather take one or two friends and go do something big instead of having seven, eight, ten kids over for
in
a hot
backyard.
Dog.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at cutting it off sooner so we can overseed quicker because everyone loves to get out there and roll around on the rye lawn. The Bermuda, they're like, when's the soft grass coming back?
Right. Yeah, I think the day will come when we will finally adopt more of a Midwestern mentality about our landscape and gardening. I know we've talked about this before, but we expect our landscapes here. For some reason, we have this notion that, and it is, we don't have snow, we don't have freeze. You know, you look out the window and it's beautiful out there, but you walk out there when it's 122 degrees. And other than a few plants that thrive in that kind of weather, stuff suffers. And it's, you know, why not have nobody has a longer stretch of good weather than we do from October to May. You know, it's gorgeous. Let's plant lawns and shrubs and, you know, I'm not talking about your shade trees and your substantial foundation plantings. There are plenty of those things that do well right through the summer, and they're permanent. But as far as lawns and quote-unquote temporary things, color, annuals, and just blow it off come summertime. You know, I mean, the people in the Midwest, it's cold, it's snowy. They don't worry about, you know, what their vinca or petunias look like. They're dead, you know. I don't know. I would think we'd get there at some point.
Well, maybe one day.
And water may be the way we do it. You know, it's going to be more and more expensive to water in the summertime, and it may cause people to do less in the summertime. Just a thought.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we bring Dave into the conversation from Benson, Arizona. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning. I have a quick question for you, gentlemen, please. Last fall, I planted 27 dwarf Japanese garden junipers, and I planted them on a slope. And they made it through the winter. And now I have three of them that look healthy and are growing. I have about a half a dozen of them that look like they could die any day. There's a little green, but it's more brown than green. And all the rest of them are just dead. And I was wondering if you could give me some advice on what I might have done wrong with these things.
Well, you planted dwarf Japanese junipers. That's what you did wrong.
Yeah.
It's just not a great plant for here. You know, it's a hard one to grow here. It's, you know, it's low growing on that hot ground. I can't remember the last time I saw a great landscaper planting of what is probably Procumbens nana junipers growing. You know, there are other really low, tight growing ground covers, if that's what you want to plant. None that might give you that exact look, although one that's very close is the little dwarf or spreading emu or Eremophila. I think it's Outback Sunrise, and it actually gives you some color, but it has kind of an evergreeny look to it, the way it grows. Myoporum would be another one that would give you something similar. But if that's what you're trying to do is grow that kind of a look in a ground cover, you need to find something else besides that particular plant. It's just not going to do well here.
I know that's a hard thing to think about doing when you've put all that time and invested into it, but your success ratio there was less than
3% three out of however many, and you know, those could go any day. I mean, we're not done with summer yet. I know we've kind of been jokingly saying we're smelling fall and everything else, but even the first day of fall is still a month away.
I love
technically by the calendar, and we know that it's usually more like the 1st of October before it gets more like fall here in the middle of October, more realistic. So got a couple of months that those, so the rest maybe, he may not be done losing junipers yet, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, we appreciate the call, Dave. Hope that's helped, and hope one of those suggestions on alternatives works for you. Now, all of those, you were talking about ground covers, and that's just, I don't know what a Japanese dwarf juniper looks like. When I hear juniper, I think when I walk into the, when I pull into the parking lot at Chasm in Sedona, they've got these huge juniper, alligator juniper trees that are massive.
Well, juniper's a big, big genus of plants, you know, I mean, from large alligator junipers down to very tight growing ground covers like the one he was talking about, and everything in between. And some junipers are actually pretty heat and drought tolerant. You know, sea greens, some of the ones we just don't landscape with them very much anymore because that kind of Midwestern, Eastern look has gone out of fashion. But the low, tight growing junipers, even when we landscaped in beds and we flooded beds with bubblers and had grass around everything and put bark in things, even a lot of those, even at that time, I've tried them because I kind of like that landscape look, but I could never get them to do very well. You know, you'd have three or four and one would die in the middle. You know, it just never would quite have that consistent look that you needed it to look. Tough plant to grow here.
Now, before we get back to our calls at 1-888-767-4348, I'm sure the landscape industry is just about the same as every other industry that we have, looking for good, reliable help. I mean, the demand for labor right now is pretty high. And we've got shop out of schools. We've got, you know, only a few trade schools left. You have construction career days trying to attract. We have Arizona Nursery Association's Shade Conference coming up. If you're looking for, if you love the outdoors, if you love working for plants and you want to turn it into a career, man, I think that's probably one of the best conferences to go and just see everything that the industry has to offer.
Good point. And or if you are already in the industry and you need continuing education units or credits, it's a good way to get those. There are some great different classes and tracks you can take at the same time.
And you go to azna.org, Arizona Nursery Association. The Shade Conference coming up is the Thursday, the
31st. Mm-hmm.
So not next Thursday, but the following.
Right, so you're a little less than 2 weeks away. So
always a good event, full-day event. Starts in the morning. You've got three or four sessions. You have lunch, then you have three or four in the afternoon. And there's four or five speakers at a time, so you got to go online, get the calendar, find out what's most applicable to you.
Right.
Get signed up.
And during, before and then during lunch, there's also what they call a marketplace. So there's a little trade show, mini trade show, where you can look at some of the newest products and things that are coming out that are applicable to the industry.
We have Rose in Tempe texting about an ash tree. And they're losing leaves, and all of them have holes that appear to be on the ground around the trees. So I'm not quite sure I understand exactly what the text is saying, but ash trees in general, I've seen some do very well and some do very poor.
Yeah, you know, ash trees need to be planted in grass, heavily irrigated lawn bed type situations to, frankly, to do really well here. And some varieties of ash trees do better than others. You know, I'm not a big fan of the shamel or evergreen ash. It takes tons of water. It's got a big soft leaf that sunburns real easy. It also freezes here instead of going dormant. It kind of, so I think it's a bad choice. Native, the Fantex ash, which is a, you know, a derivation of our Arizona native ash, good old Arizona ash, Modesto ash, those will do okay, but they still do not lend themselves to being in a xeriscape gravel type landscape. They just need tons of water. And so you see a lot of, especially landscapes that were converted. Maybe they were grass at one time with a big ash tree in them, and then people have killed the grass and put gravel and went to a drip irrigation instead of flood irrigation or heavy sprinkler watering irrigation, and they suffer. The other thing that could happen, and it sounds like with this one, the cicadas really love ash trees, and they, you know, they're out there laying their eggs on the ends of all of those little tender branches on ash trees, and that might be the holes she's seen under the trees, or the, you know, the emerging cicadas coming out of the ground, climbing up on the trunk, shedding their skin, and then going out and laying their eggs. See a lot of damage, tip damage, little branch damage, dieback on ash trees that way too. But if you've got an ash tree, an existing ash tree, and it's in a gravel lawn, you probably need to supplement the water. Take a hose out there, you know, once a week or so in the really hot parts of the summer, and just give it a, let it run all day, all night, something like that.
On a soft trickle.
Very
slow
trickle.
You don't turn
trickle.
The hose all the way on and
no,
just
no.
leave it.
No, no. Let it soak for hours and hours and hours and hours.
We have a couple in line and one on a drip system. And, you know, sometimes those get plugged up. Man, you can tell as soon as one of those emitters gets plugged. A tree, you can tell within days that it's not getting the water that the rest of them are. You fix that, and, I mean, they green right back up.
Yeah. The other thing that happens if they've gone long periods with, you know, with some of these leaves falling off and with damage, they also have a fairly thin skin. They don't have a big, heavy barked trunk. So they sunburn real easy. And then once we get sunburn and we get bark peeling off and, you know, we get sooty canker and we get all these other issues that are involved when that trunk gets sunburned that cause them to start going downhill as well.